Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights. We'll be swimming when we die. Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky. Where the stars have always shined.
And now our host, the MC.
I am so excited about tonight's show for both our guest and our musical guest with us today. We have titled the show Being the Lighthouse in an Ocean of Grief. We are going to be talking about our guest's book, who... It's about grief. It's about so much. We're going to take an interesting angle because of how our guest seems to show up. And it's interesting that I watched a TED Talk that she gave, and in it, she talked about showing up just like she showed up and asked people to pledge showing up like that. So I want to make sure she knows how she showed up and to share just that with our audience so that we see what it is she actually has in her book that one can tell she has gone through in order to be able to be here. Similarly, our musical guest is showing up in a very beautiful way. I can't wait to come back, and we're going to have Meg Nocero and Peter Chung on the Life Changers Show at Home Edition right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com. or AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com. You can also comment via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am host Filippo Voltaggio online with Mark Lejeur.
Tonight's conversation and guests in this show title and metaphor of the lighthouse or being the beacon of transformation, being your own, being the lighthouse. That's just, it's been a metaphor, it's been an analogy that's come up so many times for us at Life Changes and over the years at very special moments. So I'm really excited for tonight's conversation.
Indeed. So our guest is a speaker, she's a coach, she's an award-winning author and founder of Butterflies and Bliss, And I should probably mention she's also a former, she might still be an attorney, but she was a former attorney with the government. So we welcome to the Life Changes Show, Meg Nocero. Welcome, Meg.
Hi, thank you so much, Filippo. Nice to be here with you all tonight.
It's great to have you. And, you know, I would say Nocero, but just saying.
I have no problem with that.
You know, in the book, you talk about, as a matter of fact, the book you just wrote, congratulations, by the way, you just released it this week. Yay, round of applause. Yay.
Oh, my God, so exciting. It's so overwhelming and exciting all at once.
Butterfly Awakens, a memoir of transformation through grief. The thing about books like this is they can take a long time to write. They can require a lot of emotion while writing it. And then one releases it, and then one might end up holding their breath thinking, oh my God, what did I just do? What are people going to say? Now they know everything.
Pretty much. You know, it's so funny because I was given permission from my family to speak my truth, but that doesn't mean that the vulnerability, putting it all out there, is not going to freak you out either. So it is absolutely like, what did I just do?
I love what the editor-in-chief of Blossom Magazine said. Her beautiful vulnerability opens the door for all of us to peer into our hearts. So there it is. You know, how you showed up, how you shared with me, you know, what's really interesting is for a moment, we were talking about your mom's passing on the anniversary of my father's passing today, years ago today. And yet while we were talking, you had me laughing, we were connecting, we were very joyful. And so that to me, like Mark was saying, that to me is being the lighthouse.
Wow, I didn't know that. But, you know, I have to tell you, one of the things that I was appreciative, especially I still am on those trigger dates or those special dates as we remember those we love, is to remember and reminder to laugh, still laugh, to enjoy. That's what they would want us to do. That's what they want us to do while we're here, living our lives and coming alive to our stories as we you know, go about our days. So I'm happy that I could do that for you. Didn't know that, but I'm very happy that I could do that for you. And you literally did that for me too. I was enjoying the conversation so much. I was absolutely looking forward to this conversation, especially since, you know, I am speaking to a fellow Italiano, so I'm even more excited. Absolutely.
Well, and the fact, what makes that even more poignant to me is exactly one of the things that your book is about, and it seems like your life is so much about, is that there may be a notion of grief out there, at times our own personal grief, and at this moment also in the world, and yet to be able to be that beacon of light and share from the way that you share, shining the light, that people could see the light from their boats and say, okay, I want to go towards that.
You know, I'm so happy that you guys are using the symbolism of the lighthouse with this conversation tonight, because it really is one of the first times I'm really talking about it. But it's so, when I saw the lighthouse when my mother passed away, I saw it in a vision, and basically I was in shock, first of all, that she had gone, and plus this vision of this lighthouse that I've never had this kind of surreal experience before. I was like, what is that about? Why? You know, I'm like such a curious mind as well. But, you know, in my grief, in this sadness, I was like, what's this supposed to mean for me? Am I supposed to find this lighthouse? And, you know, what we were talking about before is even going through this journey, understanding and navigating the grieving process, you know, it turned to the end. And when I found where I found a peaceful place, I could be that light again for others, while others were that was literally the light for me while I was going through the whole, you know, dark time of my life.
Now, obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but the book goes through many different periods of your life and experiences with your mom, especially through the ending of her life on this planet. She lives on, obviously, in your memory, in the memory of your family, and in the stories that you share, and in the inspiration that you give. On top of which, you come with your own personal story of what you were doing before you decided that you were going to do this. So let's just bring it all to today from different aspects of it. Let's gather it all up for the audience.
So I actually practiced for nearly 20 years as a litigator in front of the immigration courts as a attorney for the Department of Homeland Security, which is very unusual if you were to meet me, because I don't seem to be someone that you would say, oh yeah, she works for something that would be so gray. You know, people who work for the federal government, even if you go to Washington, you see black and white, or I'm sorry, black and gray suits, very stiff, very serious. And I was the trial attorney who would stick magnets, you know, of inspiration on people's door, you know, that basically said, you know, find your bliss, go after your dreams. At the same time, was very much credible and had a very good reputation as far as my job is concerned. I was a lawyer for so long. I'm still an attorney, but I practiced that. And at a certain point in time, you know, after my mother passed away, well, before she passed away, she said to me, Meg, stress is going to kill you, and you're going to not want to have regrets when you're where I am right now. And that really stuck with me. I was like, well, you know, I don't want to be where I am right now if, God forbid, tomorrow is my day, you know, so I got to figure out a way out of here. But at the same time, I had to, you know, it, like you said, different ways that I had to show up, because I felt lost without her. I had this new notion of mortality. You know, we're not all of us. We don't have a vast amount of time here. You know, it's given to us as a gift. What we do with it is our gift to the world, our calling, or our living up to what it is that we are here to do. And I was really like, well, this is really kind of shocking all around. And I didn't know how to handle it at first. So, you know, even going back into the world that was the world I knew before my mother, you know, passed away, which was, you know, my job, my family, my life, I wasn't sure how to navigate anything anymore without my mentor and my guide and my mother. So it was a real, I would say, back to the word, shocking to my system. And, you know, I still was supposed to show up as if nothing happened when my whole life changed. And going back to the lighthouse and then deal with, oh my God, what does that mean for me? Like, how am I going to walk this path without her? She was essentially for a long time where I was nurtured, or where I was my lighthouse. She was my lighthouse. So it was really quite challenging. But the thing was, you know, I don't think there's no classes in this world to teach you how to go through the navigate the grieving process.
Why not?
I don't know. I think I was asking a lot. I was like, so how did you feel when your person died? Or I would ask a lot, and they're like, and I really did appreciate a lot of people sharing with me what happened to them, because I didn't want to feel, one of my friends says, I'll never die of terminal uniqueness, right? There are so many people who have experienced what I'm experiencing. When they share from that place of vulnerability, it makes my, you know, very, very difficult path a little less difficult, right? So like with you, what you just said, why wouldn't anyone share? And because I fell into a really dark night of the soul, I promised myself, instead of, you know, giving up and leaving and becoming numb out to the world, that I would figure out how to move on in such a way that I would make my mother proud, you know, keep her legacy alive. But also, when I made it to the end of whatever this was, I would share my story in hopes that I would bring hope to someone else. You know, I think that at that time, I didn't know, like you said, it takes a long time to write a book, but it was my life. It was the 7 years until I decided to walk the Camino. It was the 7 years until I decided to resign from my job and take a leap of faith into another whole creative world, you know, and it was kind of all the doors closing in your face and you're wondering, oh my God, I can't stay here anymore. It got too uncomfortable where I sat. So I figured, you know, I don't want to be here feeling like this. What's the point of just staying and being uncomfortable here? Let me jump out into the world and see what I can do and be uncomfortable in the uncertainty, because both, you know, both were a bit, you know, suffocating. So I'm not regretful of anything from taking that leap of faith, because my cage door was never closed. And the world opened up to me when I decided to follow a different path.
And of course, this gets the story expands into the fact that you also have a family. So it wasn't just you that you were responsible for. And so adding that to the equation.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I am a very responsible person. You know, I felt like, you know, they didn't ask for this. They didn't ask for me to have this experience, especially my kids were 2 and my 8-year-old. So they were young, and to have their mother check out would not have been fair to them. And literally, I know that my mother would like turn around and go, what are you doing? You know, this is not you. This is not what I would want for you. But it still doesn't make the journey less difficult. Go ahead. I sometimes a lot of people question whether or not they have the resiliency or the stamina or the, I don't know, the extra oomph to walk through really hard times. And I think that especially what you pointed out in the outset of the conversation, you know, lately, I would pretty much define all of this as hard times right now, you know, but the silver lining is always there. And one of the things that I appreciate in my life is that even despite all of what is falling on me, I can still try to find that light, that hope. And it does shift you. It does shift you. And it does shift, you know, how you appear to the world, how you show up in the world. And, you know, it's funny because when I decided to resign from the Department of Homeland Security, I was such a fixture there. And everyone, like, you know, I made a lot of friends. I, you know, the Italian in us, right? Everyone is our family member. Bring everyone over for pasta on Sunday, right? Everybody gets to be a part of it all. You know, and one of the most beautiful things that I know is that my family is very inclusive and open and really loves people, you know. And one of the things that, you know, people saw were like, oh my God, they were like amazed. They were like shocked. They're like, and they were rooting for me, you know, they're like, if she can do it, maybe it'll give permission to, for us to do the same, to open those doors of possibility again.
So Meg, if your story, like if this experience that you had with a mother passing were unique to you, or like the first time it ever happened in the world, or even the 100th time or the 1,000,000th time, but it's something that happens to all of us and ourselves included, and it's baffling that we don't have better tools to go through this process. Like actually Kirkus Reviews said about your book, her struggles are universal ones that will resonate with many. Well, it should resonate with all of us, because we all, you know, and not just, we have two parents, those of us who are lucky to have two parents. Yeah. So twice, and not just parents, but uncles and aunts and friends and neighbors, you know what I mean? So maybe you're setting the book. I mean, maybe you're setting the course with a book. So when you finish the course, let us know so we can tell people where to go. But in the meantime, they can go to Meg Nocero to read the book, which will someday be a course. But I'm just playing with you. But who knows? So Meg, MegNocero.com. But I'll give you a chance to for your rebuttal.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah. It's, you know, my father always says, you don't get out of this world alive, right? That's the one thing that we all can count on for sure. I mean, and the fact of the matter is, you know, how will you live this once around? And how will you experience? And the, like we were talking about, the human experience is so important. You can't protect yourself from all, the whole of the experience. You can't, you know, sit in your cocoon literally, or even the caterpillar will die in the cocoon if it stays there, you know? So one of the most beautiful things is to trust the process and, you know, break through sometimes. But sometimes to break through, you know, into another perspective, into another experience, you know, on this journey we live, you have to gather the strength and then trust that you can do it and not give up and persevere. And I think a lot of times we want the easy way out because sometimes it's so painful. And I don't think that pain is a bad thing, because on the other side, the contrast is the joy. So I think we know truly what joy is because we've experienced pain. But the reality is to see it differently and in the gifts that were given to me through the relationship with my mother, because she was literally a force of nature. And I have become more and more proud that she raised me. So, and then, you know, I'll tell anyone, you know, and most people that did know her will definitely concur like with that. She was someone who said, don't shirk, speak your truth, stand up for what you believe in, do the right thing, have integrity, you know, be a leader amongst people. It doesn't matter. You don't need a title, and bring other people up along with you. Don't leave others behind. Take them with you. And as far as the grieving process is concerned, losing that was so difficult because I was like, well, who's going to give it to me? You know, who's going to be that cheerleader? Mm. And then one person told me, it's time for you to be your own guide. And that just means all the wisdom, all the lessons that were given to me, now I can give them to others. And I didn't have to do that when she was alive. But when she passed away, that's been the gift that she's left with me, is that I have all of that to share. And it's time, or it was time when I wrote this, to share it with others.
So I haven't had the pleasure of, Mark, was that you trying to chime in? No, I haven't had the pleasure of reading the book just yet. However, a couple things. One thing is, when I first got to talk to you, I knew, like, there are people that have gone through their stories and are still in their story, and that they're working through it, but their book ends, but their story is, they're still in like the first chapter or second chapter or something like that in real life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like you're on to another book.
Yeah. You know, I promised myself that this story would have a happy end. So I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but the happy ending that is there is mine, my happy ending. Like, I felt like I ran a race of 7 years, a marathon, let's say. And at the end, I wanted to come out with some takeaway that I could take to the next part of my life, to the next chapter of this adventure, right? And with it, as you know, one of the things that we were talking about with my sisters, who I love dearly, I have two sisters, and they said, Mom would never want you to continue the suffering of the past. It's time to forgive what you need to forgive, embrace all the lessons learned, and move on into some kind of exuberance and jubilation, taking your place now that you have seen what you can do and what where you're going is, like you said, for another story, another book, another chapter. Yes.
Mm. Mm. So potentially the reader has an opportunity to go through that process with you and actually process themselves. Did you write the Storyteller's Pledge?
Did you? I did. I wrote the Storyteller's Pledge. You know,
wow.
Yeah, I, you know what, it was very, you know, and honestly, when you're doing a TEDx, you're like, you're hoping that, it was funny, the screen was so far away, I couldn't see it. So I was just like, I memorized it so much that I was, but I know it was not matching up to the words. But the bottom line was this: when you speak the words to the universe or to God or to the divine, and you promise out loud, it's a pact you're making with yourself. I promise to write better stories for myself, to love better, to be there for other people where I can, do my best. It's a pledge to yourself, to your life, and to those who cross your path. You make that pledge to them as well, because what a gift it is when you show up fully in your life for yourself and for others. Then, you know, it's going to be so much more fun. I mean, you and I were talking, like, it's a playground. It's a playground of excitement and joy. And, you know, I would rather be in the playground of creativity and you know, hang out with wonderful singers like you and the groups that you have coming on after me, and just being creatives into a better story for all of us instead of one of fear. And, you know, we have that. We all have, that's a human experience. It's all the emotions, all the feels. But at the end of the day, I want to be able to just embrace un braccio forte a la vita, no? The life that we live.
La vita. Wow. Yes. Yeah. I love that.
My mother would say her favorite was, and it's in Italian, you know, live well, laugh often, love much, right? You know, vivere bene, spesso amore, and what is it? Ridere molto, no? And yeah. And it was like, yeah, that's what we're here for. Live, laugh, and love. And yeah, the other stuff happens. It happens. We have our days. But go back. You know, go back to that foundation. And I just didn't know when I lost her if I would be able to do it in my life like it was with her. But she's still with me. She's still with me. And my family is still with me. And I have wonderful friends, and I've had the opportunity to meet people like you and all these great experiences. And I'm here for it. You know, I'm here for it, which wasn't what I thought was going to happen when I numbed out and couldn't face the grieving process at the beginning, which is what a lot of people do because they don't know if they're strong enough to handle it. Mm. But at the end of the day, you just have to have a belief in yourself that is bigger than, you know, the most incredible dreams you have, because when God plants the dreams in our heart, it's for a reason, for us to live them and see them come to life.
Wow. I'm telling you, I told you this when we were chatting before, like every other word you say is a meme. So let's remember that. And did you, I don't remember now, did you take me up on the offer of writing something fun for the Life Changes website?
So I'm going to do it. Yes. In 7 minutes or less, right?
So funny. So Meg Nocero, MEGNOCERO.com is where you could learn more about Meg, where you can find her book. Of course, her book's available where books are sold online. Any of the other socials we want to give out? We have them all on our website. But is there one in particular you want to give out? Like Twitter is Meg Nocero. I mean, that's easy.
Instagram I'm on there. You. I generally post every day a Meg's mantra because I like to start my day with a mantra that speaks to some kind of, you know, maybe something I want to work on for the day. So today was I am abundance of health and wealth. Today was that was today. And, you know, health and wealth in many different aspects and in relationships and in family and experience, et cetera. So I start off with an insight on Instagram. I always post on Instagram every day. So if they want to see me there, it's at Meg Nocero as well.
Okay, well, you'll find me checking in tomorrow. So we'll be actually right back with a little more with Meg Nocero when we come back. In the next segment, we'll also have our Ask Dorothy segment, and a little later on, our musical guest, Peter Chung, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, coming up right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Boccaccio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. We are having a conversation that matters. Being the lighthouse in an ocean of grief is what we have titled this episode. Our guest is Meg Nocero, who's a speaker, a coach, an award-winning author, and founder of Butterflies and Bliss. We are talking about a lot of things, actually. Her book, Butterfly Awakens, A Memoir of Transformation Through Grief. Meg, before I was going to read a quote, but before I do, I just want to give a shout out to Kim Weiss, your publicist, who said to me, Filippo, you're going to want to meet Meg. And I'm like, meet her, hurry up already.
I love Kim. She's awesome. That's great. I love Kim. Yes, definitely shout out to Kim Weiss.
As I could just see you on the other end, like you were telling me earlier. It's like, yeah. So when you embrace the storyteller that is you, then the story becomes something even more exciting to embrace. Talk to me about that.
You know, a lot of people like run away from their stories, right? They don't necessarily feel comfortable in their skin. And my message to all of those people is that this is the greatest gift that you've been given. You have everything that you need in you, in your brain, in your heart, in your soul, around you. If you start to embrace that whole internal, external, and your body, mind, and soul as this incredible storyteller, and you start to tell better stories. The word story itself is historia, right? So it's, you tell these histories of, you know, wonderful tales of your life, and then start to live those tales, like set them out, like perhaps, you know, like you were saying with your beautiful story about the dog. And my God, love animals, love dogs especially, but you know, the whole journey of what you can learn from anything, from an animal to other people, and then start getting curious as to who shows up on the stage that we all live every day, then all of a sudden, you might want to really watch that show, right? Like I said in my talk, I want to be able to watch the movie of my life when I'm dying, you know? And I said, wow, what a great show. I was like, that was a life. And you know, to waste a single day, you know, not that you breathe and that you're alive and you're inspiring others, or you're being inspired and breathing life into yourself, you know, is to really embrace that story. So that you really get saying, like, you turn to yourself and you're saying, oh my God, I really enjoy being myself, because authentically yourself is how everybody wants you to show up. You have to be you, because that's who you are. That's where you are. That's why you've come to this world. And, you know, I would rather have those people be authentically themselves showing up, embracing this, so that the excitement can exude, that you'll be proud of who you are as well. And that your story becomes something that's a masterpiece.
And you also, while we were talking, said standing on the shoulders of giants that were here before us. So your mother shared with you giant stories, giant feelings, giant emotions, and you're honoring that by using them, sharing them, being them.
Yeah, I, you know, maybe you'll totally get this when I say this to you. One of the missing art of life nowadays is when you sit around the dinner table, right? Mm. And share your experiences of the day. That was the first opportunity for all of us as children to learn how to tell really good stories. And if you have a big family like I have, and even when I get together with my extended Italian family, you got to make sure you come up with a really good story so that you can capture the attention of those that listen. Because mm-hmm. if it only goes in seconds, and they'll pass you over in like a moment, right? So the whole bottom line is what I'm speaking to is that, you know, you engage from a place of this family legacy that you have, right? And if it's not something that is a great one, then you can still have that opportunity to make it a great one because you have the option, you have the freedom to choose what it is that you desire to choose and say for your life. So one of the beautiful legacies that, you know, my parents, you know, give me, my father is still here. Thank God. He's amazing. We call him the Poppy, and he, you know, takes us to watch the stories in Broadway every year. We call it Poppy Palooza. We celebrate the arts. We celebrate creativity. But the reality is that they want us to show up in this world to be of service and to be proud of the stories that we tell. And that's the life we live and how we live it. And that is something that my mother taught me. And that is something I want to teach my children. And that is something that I would love to be an example for others as well. Do your best, you know, and tell the best story that you can.
So you said about art while we were chatting that it takes us to a place where imagination can take flight. And so in the theme of being what you are seeking and being the lighthouse, we are, and what you are demonstrating is that you are the art.
Yeah. I think that's amazing. Can you imagine, like, each person is a masterpiece walking around this earth, right? And if you take your words, you know, life is too important to be taken so seriously. However, if you put your words, those positive, powerful, empowering words into the world in such a way that you create a masterpiece with what you say, what you think, what you do, then yeah, the art becomes you. And then what you do for others becomes the joy, perhaps, for another person who crosses your path. And there's nothing more exciting to share that with others because, you know, when you like engage that space and you hold it and people like give you that, their attention, they give you your time and you honor that, the exchange of incredible energy between one person and another by virtue of you being vulnerable as well as engaging the imagination of another is so exciting. And you see sometimes light bulbs go off in heads of others, right? Or even your own. You're just like, oh my God, and you get the goosebumps and it's all the feels. So yes, I would say we all become the art that we experience in our imagination.
And so we also talked about how it came up, it takes a village. I don't remember how that came up, but I do know that in one of your talks, you talk about creating a better story for a happier village. And so it takes a village, and also we can change a village.
Absolutely. Especially if you embrace the diversity of others and you don't see it as, you know, different than, but just a curiosity to understand better. And that becomes, you know, a more of a collective conversation that will open your world to different perspectives, and that you change the village. You welcome those that, you know, show up in your life as, you know, something wonderful. You know, I love the whole idea of something wonderful is always about to happen. So yeah, when you create a better story for your life, you can make a happier village. You change other people because your enthusiasm is contagious, your joy is infectious, and your love is spread in many different ways.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the butterfly has awakened. Butterfly Awakens, a memoir. As a matter of fact, you like to say, wake up, wake up and be awesome, right?
Yeah, I was like, what is the point? Don't sleep through life. Come on, wake up. I mean, you do have to sleep, and Lord knows, you know, sometimes it comes hard and in between. I mean, but yeah, wake up your soul. It's really wake up your soul, wake up your consciousness, and see the gifts that are right in front of your face that are there for you.
Meg, thank you for showing up on our show, and showing up in my life.
Well, this is definitely my un piacere mio, right? My pleasure, for sure. Mio, right. Yeah, for sure. I always love to meet other creatives who are doing wonderful things in the world, and certainly the show is one of those things. So thank you for allowing me this opportunity to have the conversation with you. It's been a pleasure, and I definitely am. My day was definitely made better, so thank you.
Likewise. Well, Butterfly Awakens, one more time, a memoir of transformation through grief. Meg Nocero, NOCERO.com is her website, and Meg Nocero is on Instagram every single day. We'll see you on Instagram tomorrow. And with that, a big thank you once again.
Thank you so much.
And now it's time for our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Margaret in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I am 32 and ready to find a husband because I want to have children. I seem to be attracting only the wrong type of men, and I want to change this pattern. I am not fond of the dating apps, as the men who I have chosen to turn out to be with are just like the men I don't want to share my future with. How can I find the perfect man to be in my life, to be my life partner and the father of my children?
Dear Margaret, it is interesting that you are doing what I did for so long. I kept attracting the same kind of men, and it took me way too long to figure out that the men I liked were very much like my father, and that was not a good thing for me. My father was the hero in our town, and he was extremely charming and beloved by most. However, he was a pathological liar and cheated on my mother for their entire marriage. I didn't discover this until I was 39 years old, and I was shocked to learn the truth about him. Once I discovered that I was dating men like my dad, I had to figure out what I really wanted and deserved in a relationship. So I made up a list of the desired characteristics and called it my divine complement list. Once I had the list, I then chose to discern whether the men I was attracted to and wanted to date had the qualities I was looking for and deserving. I would ask my pertinent questions of the men and found it rather easy to figure out if we had a future together. Margaret, I lovingly suggest you make your own list and check it when conversing with a possible man you're considering having a relationship with. If you aren't sure how to make your list, please write me at askdorothy@lifechangeshow.com, and I will send you my example. When your list is completed, you can use the next new moon for manifesting and do a simple ritual of lighting a candle and then reading the list out loud after thanking the universe for hearing your desires. Then you can tie up your paper with a ribbon and place it in the love corner in your home. If you don't know where that is, you can discover this by researching feng shui and asking how to determine the different corners in your home. You can also begin opening the door to finding your healthy relationship by making a part of your daily prayer to include something like this. Thank you, God, for introducing me to my divine complement. I am a firm believer in the magic of prayers of gratitude and trust that you will make this a part of your manifestation ritual. Once you have determined what you want in a man, then you might wish to find groups of like-minded people and events you can attend where you may find your perfect man. There are many wonderful gatherings available to choose from. Do your research on social networks, and you can find the people you are comfortable with.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangeshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical segment, our musical guest, Peter Chung, when we come back right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back, and our musical guest is singer-songwriter Peter Chung. Welcome, Peter, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
It's great having you here. You know, I have to say, while we were doing a sound check earlier today, you were playing this beautiful music, and I know you're in downtown Los Angeles, and you wouldn't have even had to tell me because I could hear the sirens in the background. And I was thinking, wow, how interesting is that, how we are today, we're talking about being the lighthouse in an ocean of grief, that here you were singing this beautiful music and conveying such beautiful thought, while in the background there was somebody in grief for sure. So thank you for sharing your music and providing that analogy for us to share today.
You can thank the city of Los Angeles for that. I may hear some sirens again as we talk, so yeah.
No worries. Well, actually, it's really interesting, and I mean, how so you two, our guest and you as our musical guest, come from two different people that didn't know each other, and here we are together at a very interesting time where we're talking about losing a loved one. And gosh, I don't know how to break into this, but you have someone that just passed very recently.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of us have had some grief recently. My brother passed away in March. It was of a heart attack. And yeah, he lived. And while me living in Los Angeles, it was a hard call to take for my mother. And tough one. Definitely a tough one.
So I am so sorry. And so my condolences go out to you and your whole family. And this conversation came up because we were talking about life changes, and you said something to the effect of you had your first therapy session this week. And I thought, tell us more. And then not only did we find out that story, but actually another interesting story along with it, right?
Yeah. So when my brother passed away, I had sought therapy. And unfortunately, my insurance care is very popular, and all the therapists in my location were just booked. And I didn't want to look again. It was stressful enough. And, you know, it's been a few months now. My friend last week, he messaged me. He said, "Hey, I had a newborn kid, and so I have some free time." I want to help you look for a therapist. And I was like, wait a second. I thought you're supposed to be busy with a newborn kid. But he said, he's like, hey, just take a photo of your insurance card, your back in the front, and I will book a therapist for you. Mm. And literally 3 days later, he sent me a list of therapists that are available and they were willing to accept my insurance. And I was just blown away. And yeah, it was just holy smokes.
Well, it seems that your life, there are so many instances in the little that I've gotten to know you that this kind of thing has happened in your life. So you're a walking life changes, and may they be interesting and exciting, like this story you're about to share, if you would. Tell us a story that will lift us up.
Yeah. So, when Lyft they're literally yet to have a pink mustache on the front of your car as a driver. I was one of the original drivers. Back then, when you needed to use the restroom, you would just go to the Lyft headquarters in San Francisco and use a restroom. Well, we all knew each other and they knew I was a musician. So for the 1 year anniversary party, they asked me to perform. And on the day of the party, I wrote a song in the shower and I performed it that day. And the co-founder listened to it and said, hey, I really like that song. Let's make a music video. Let's record it. And I said, I'll only do that if you sing. So we went into the studio later that week. We recorded, made the music video, and he's on it. And together, we made this music video, and then I asked them, hey, I want to jumpstart my Kickstarter. Can you guys promote this? And they said yes. And together with the music video and the Kickstarter, it literally changed my life to support a full-time musician, which I am.
Mm. And here you are, living the dream in downtown Los Angeles. And the dream being that you perform your original music, which we're going to get to hear. Now, around the world, it has been hard to do that physically up until hopefully now you can, because of all the lockdowns and stuff. But so may you live it to the fullest. And so, well, you like I was saying earlier, you seem to have things that you create this, actually. So you started a song yesterday.
Yeah.
It's not finished, but you were willing to share it. Actually, am I jumping ahead? Were you willing to do it first?
Yeah, I'll do a little what I have made so far.
I love this. I love this story. And I asked you how this came about. Is I asked you, wow, what's that called? And you said it doesn't have a title yet. Do you want to share the moment, how it came to be?
Sure. So I live pretty close to the beach, and the sunset is so beautiful, but it's so fleeting. And sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. Right now it's so foggy. And it's just so beautiful. And when it's not there, I'm like, man, why aren't you here? And I just wrote a song about the beautiful colors, the orange sky, the purple lights. And I was reflecting, like, how does this pertain? And it's so many ways, especially during this whole conversation with you guys. I was like, all right, consistency, showing up. How can we show up for ourselves? How can we show up today, tomorrow, for our family, for our friends?
Mm.
And yeah, it's just being there.
All right. Well, here's Peter performing this.
Untitled.
Now.
Orange sky, will you promise tomorrow? You purple light will be there. I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow.
all I got.
Fantastic. Hey, you know, just inspired me. I was feeling into that and thinking about the sun, and this is Mark chiming in because I had the great benefit, blessing of getting to know your music and talent on the recent platform event. And I wanted to give a shout out to Chris Pan and My Intent and our dear brother, friend of Life Changes show, Samuel J., for turning us on to you and your craft and being able to bring this to the show tonight.
Yeah.
Indeed. Thank you. And Peter, I already hear the difference from what it was earlier to just now. And if and when it's going to be something else or supposed to be, then do share. Let us know so we can share with the audience so they get to hear the evolution. In the meantime, Peter's Linktree address is, for those who don't know, Linktree, linktr.ee. / Peter Chung Music, Peter Chung, C-H-U-N-G, Music. So, Peter, you now have a song to share that has already been released, right?
Yeah. So this song is called Waiting. And I don't think we have too much time to share a story about that, but I think the lyrics are self-explanatory.
Well, you know what? Your stories are so good. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm still single, but I used to be single too. And you know what, I was chasing after people and I decided, you know what, I'm gonna wait for them to come to me. Well, that was the worst. Nothing happened. So I learned that, you know what, if you want something, you have to work for it, you have to go for it. Don't wait for things to come to you. And so that's what this song is about.
Awesome. Okay, well, here is Peter Chung performing his song live, Waiting, on the Life Changes Show.
What good's a heart?
I find someone to know. A short time waiting. Oh, maybe love will take a while. Maybe love will find me soon. And I can change my blues to my own. Oh, I found my way. I'll find your way. Watch the sunrise. Watch the clouds turn blue to gray. You've been waiting for too long, but don't worry, I'm on my way. I'm on my way.
Peter Chung, thank you so much. That song was well worth waiting for, and I hope we don't have to wait too long to be able to connect with you again. What a pleasure. Again, a Linktree is address is Peter Chung, CHUNG music, Peter Chung music. Truly a pleasure. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And a big thank you once again to our guest, Meg Nocero. And that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed...